My name is Melody Richeson, if you guys haven't met me or I haven't met you before. I have been on campus staff for about 16 years. And I'm currently getting ready to go on staff with Focus International. So a lot of you are familiar with Focus Organization. I'll be doing that in March. And I'm really glad that you guys are all in here. And I would love to take just a minute. First of all, I need a couple of people to help me with time because I don't have a watch on. And I don't, so I'll kind of just, we could be here forever. and I do need to bring this to an official end on time. And then if people want to hang out and talk and ask questions, we sure can. But so it is, what is it, about 10 right now? Are we back? What's that? 9:58. Thank you. You can be the timekeeper. And we're supposed to be out of here, who knows the schedule? 10:40. Okay, so we have about an hour, not quite an hour, 45 minutes or so. Okay. I would really just like to take a minute and like let everybody go around. I just want to know, and I want other people to know, your name and like very, very, in one sentence or two, why you're in this workshop. Okay? You know, what year in school you are, kind of what prompted you to pick this one. There's a lot of great workshops this evening. So who you are, where you are, and one sentence on why you're in here tonight. So we're going to start right here.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, and I chose this workshop because I'm interested in being involved in the campus ministry after school, after school, and just invested in the lives of girls.
And where are you?
Awesome, so.
Thanks.
I'm from Washington, but I came from Arizona State.
You're at Arizona State, okay.
I'm Aaron. I'm from New Mexico State. I'm just a sophomore. I kind of came to this one just because I don't really know what I want to do when I graduate, so kind of an option to look at.
Great, Aaron.
I'm Rachel from New Mexico State University, and I've been on staff for 4.5 years, and I love Melody, and I always want to get better because I really don't know what I'm doing half the time.
My name is Deborah. I'm graduating from U of A in May, and I'll be going to Phoenix to do campus in this year.
Cool. My name is Bethany. I'm a senior at Oklahoma State University. I'm graduating next December, and that has been giving me now 8,000 options, and about half of them do campus industry.
I'm Lindsay. I'm from UCO, and I want to be a Holly Sack when I grow up.
There we go.
Maybe just after I graduate from UCO.
My name is Jordan, and I'm from UCO, and I just came because I love college, and I love, you know, the all the experiences.
Come on in. That's right. Y'all just pull up a second row there, right behind these gals, huh? Okay, go ahead.
I'm Mallory. I am a first year student at Southwestern Seminary, and I am here because this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So, figured never too early to start throwing tools in the toolbox.
Where'd you go to college, Mallory?
Columbia College. It's a tiny all women's college in Columbia, South Carolina, where I'm from. So.
Okay.
Dana, I'm from OU. I graduated last year, and I love to hear Melody speak to, so that's why I'm here.
My name is Holly Staff, and this is my sixth year on staff at the UCO in Edmond campus organization, and I came to this seminar because it's a really big responsibility when people want to be like you. I went to my community, so I just want to take over your job.
Just to clarify, right? Okay, coming on around.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a junior at OU. In one sentence, I just have a hard
time. Hi, I'm Julia. In 5 days, I will start at OSU. I've been going to TCC. I'm a junior. Why I'm here, I help start the college class at my church, and we're now over 40, and I figured that can't be a coincidence, so we'll see where God takes me.
Cool. I'm Haley, and I go to the Southwestern in Weatherford, and I'm from Duncan, and in a sentence, I guess, I'm here just because God's just given me a heart for just girls and women's ministry, and I think it's a really powerful ministry. That's what God's calling me to do.
Okay. I'm Rachel Day, or Ray Day, and I go to Texas Tech, and I graduate in December, and I have no idea what I'm doing after that, and God is not letting me know what to do because I'm lazy and he knows better. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm headed and looking at all the options.
I'm Ashley Williams, and I'm a junior from the University of Missouri, and I graduate next year, and so like this is an opportunity I've been presented with to do ministry, and so just trying to figure out if that's what I should.
I'm Sarah Seitz. I'm actually a senior in high school in Crowley, in Texas. I really have a heart for girls, and it's just this, like, a good place to start figuring things out. I'll probably go to OSU next August. So, I don't know. I've got lots of options and start early, I guess.
That's great. Welcome.
Thanks.
Glad you're here. Okay, back there.
I'm Bethany Fred.
Hi, Bethany.
And, I'm from Boulder, Colorado, and I'm a junior at the University of Colorado, and I just have a heart for ministry in general. I know that's what I want to do, and I know college students are a very strategic place to be, so, like, if that's what God wants me to be, then I'll be there, so,
I'm Shawnee Gelder. I'm a super senior at the Eastern Michigan University. I'll graduate in April. And I'm here just because like a lot of you guys, not and I have a heart for just women and our college ministry. So here just to see if God is leading me.
I'm glad you're here, Shawnee. Well, why don't we pray before we start? And I'm going to ask Dana, would you pray for us? Just pray for our time.
Father, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this conference and, Lord, just all the things we've been hearing, Father. Father God, I ask you just to pour your spirit out on us, Lord, and just open up our hearts to hear what you have for us, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would really just anoint the words that you want to speak to us to come out of nowhere, Father God. Father God, that we can have just a great time and just really glorify you, Father. And Father, that we would just have hearts to hear, Lord God, your voice, Lord, because that's really what we came here for. And Lord Jesus, I just pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Dana. Okay, well, I'm going to talk fast. I don't have a ton to say, so I'm going to try to say it hopefully clearly and fairly quickly, because I feel like you wouldn't be here unless this was at least for some of you, you're fairly close to graduation. This is a semi-serious thought in your mind. And I figure you probably have questions. And so I want to leave time for questions. And I also want to say I'd be very happy for this to be more in the form of a discussion rather than, I mean, I don't have like, you know, millions of things for you to take notes on. I'm just going to share some things. So feel free at any point to interrupt me and say, wait, I want to ask a question about that before you move on and I forget what you just said. Okay? So feel free to jump in, ask questions. Who's my timekeeper? Okay, great. Will you tell me when it's 10:30, right? Okay, because wherever we're at, if I have not gotten done talking, which could happen, I want to quit at that point so that we have a good 15, 20 minutes or more for questions, okay? So don't be bashful. Just say, hey, it's 10:30, Melody. Okay? My goal in doing, when they asked me to do this workshop, I was like, well, that'd be great. You know, I really have a heart for college students. Like somebody said, Bethany, I think it is a strategic place. Did anybody in this room come to Christ as a college student? Since you've, excuse me, I'm congested, getting over a cold. How many of you did not know Christ already as a college, when you first came to college and you began to walk with Christ for the first time after getting to college? Is that true of anybody in this room? Okay, well, that's close, but I want to know, after you got to college. Aaron, right? Okay, one, all right? Two.
Well, like, I believe, but when I got in college and found out that being a Christian was having a relationship with Christ, that's when I decided it made my acceptance as Jesus, you know, as my personal Lord and Savior.
Okay, so we'll call it two. All right, how many of you would say you were already a believer when you got to college, but then you got involved in the campus ministry and you're world, so to speak, was turned upside down? It has made a significant difference in your walk with God because you've been a part of a campus ministry. Most everybody. It is very strategic. It's a tremendously strategic place. But my goal is not necessarily tonight to try to talk all of you into doing it. You know, I mean, that's between you and God, and there needs to be some sense, obviously, of His leadership in your life. This is not just something that you launch out and do because it sounds like fun, sounds like a good idea. Come in, my friend. Come join us. This is Catherine Haney. Catherine is on staff at Arizona State University in Tempe, Arizona. Thanks for coming. Let me just tell you really quickly a little bit of my story. I tell people I sort of fell into campus ministry in the sovereignty of God, of course. But this is not like something that I set out and thought, this is God's call in my life. This is where I'm headed. I, like many of you, I went to campus. I went to New Mexico State University. I was already a Christian, fairly new Christian. When I got to campus, I got involved in the Baptist Student Union. It was called at that time. I don't know what is it called now.
Christian Challenge.
Christian Challenge. Okay. Yeah. So I got involved, and I really began to walk with God. The Lord really got a hold of my life, and it just, you know, I was a totally different person. You know, after about a year in college, my life was headed a whole different direction. So, you know, God did a significant work in my life. I was so grateful for what, you know, had been invested in me in that ministry. I was getting a degree in education, and by the time I graduated, I kind of had a sense like, you know, I don't know really what I want to do with my life, but I don't really think I probably want to teach. I've got this degree, and I had been praying, Lord, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I want to obey you. So you just tell me what to do. You want me to change my major? This is like my junior year. You want me to change my major? I will. I never felt led to change my major. I just felt like I was to plug on through and get my degree, so I did. I didn't really graduate thinking, I'm going into full-time ministry. I graduated thinking, I really want to walk with God, and I guess I'm going to be a teacher because God hadn't told me what else to do. And for me, I didn't really have any female role models in my life up to that point of graduating from college. It's a whole new day in campus ministry now. There are a lot of women on staff around the country. And there probably were when I was in college too, which was like, you know, 100 years ago, but I didn't know them. They weren't around me anywhere. And so there was no female staff like Rachel at New Mexico State University. I didn't grow up in a church that had any female staff at all. So that wasn't even an option for me. It's like I didn't know females, you know, could do that even. It wasn't something I was aspiring to do. So I graduated. I went to teach school for a year. I had an opportunity to go to Guadalajara, Mexico, and teach in a little private school down there. And I wasn't a journeyman, but it was like a journeyman thing. I only stayed 1 year, and everybody I taught with at the school were all journeymen, you know, so I, you know, but I got paid directly by the school, drew my salary from the school, used my degree. I loved it. Really got a heart for missions while I was there, kind of began to get heart, God's heart for the world. And, you know, so while I was there, you know, somewhere during the year, I think the thought started going through my mind, am I going to stay a second year? If not, what am I going to do when I go back to the States? Somehow just coming back to the States and teaching, it didn't seem right to me. It didn't seem enough to me. I don't know. I just wasn't sure that's what I wanted to do. So while I was there in Mexico, a friend of mine called, and he was doing an internship in New Mexico at New Mexico State University. They had started an internship program for campus ministers. And he was a fresh graduate. He was doing this little campus internship. And he found out that they were going to want to do that internship at another campus in the state, Eastern New Mexico. So he's like, Melody, she ought to do this. She'd be good at it, you know. So he picks up the phone, calls me. Hey, you know, Eastern's going to do this internship. I think you'd be good at it. I think I'm going to put your name in. Are you okay with that? Would you be interested? And I was like, sure, that sounds great. Like, I had this great experience in college to have a chance to give back to students for a year. I thought, I don't know what else I'm doing when I get back. I would love to do that. I would totally love to do that. He put my name in. I got the job. During that year of being an intern, I felt like God kind of affirmed some gifts in my life. You know, what, you know, people were affirming of the, you know, the ministry that I had had. Kind of felt like maybe there's something here. There's some sense of emerging call on my life that I had not known previously. And at that time, the people I was around, the influences in my life, were kind of saying, you know what, you ought to go to seminary. If there is this sense of the call of God on your life, you know, who knows what the future is going to hold, but you probably ought to get a seminary degree. So I said, okay, fine, I'll go to seminary. So I went to Southwestern, got my degree. Mallory's there. So then I graduated from seminary, and during, as I'm starting to finish seminary, I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I will do anything you want. Where do you want me to go? And the two things that kept emerging in my heart were college students and the nations. You know, I have a heart for the nations. I also have a heart for college students, you know, but I nothing seemed to open up, and I don't know that I really felt led strongly to pursue overseas at that time. So I started looking at campus. I had an opportunity to go to California. I was invited to come there and do campus ministry, and so I did. And that was, you know, sort of like they say, now here's the rest of the story. You know, it's 16, almost 18 years later. And I was 6 years in California. Then I spent about a decade on staff at the University of Nebraska. And now I'm getting ready to go on staff with Focus. And, you know, in God's tremendous kindness, this is, you know, quick little commercial. It has nothing to do with, you know, whether you guys end up working on campus. But it's funny to me. I look back on my life and I think when I was in college and in seminary, the two things that were in my heart to do were work with students and do something that would facilitate God's kingdom coming in the nations. And here I am at age 47, and you know, my ministry has come to the place where that's what I'm getting ready to do, those two things married together with working with Focus. And I'm so grateful to the Lord. It's really His kindness that has brought that to pass. So that's a little bit of my journey. So there wasn't some sense early on when I was your age of, I am going to do campus ministry. I just was kind of blindly taking the next step. Lord, I want to be obedient to you, so this seems like what you're leading me to do next. And then it was one step after that. And so I just kind of kept walking, following the Lord one step at a time. So, yeah, Rachel?
Did the 16 years just kind of happen as you were taking those next steps, or were you like, yeah, okay, for the next five-year chunk, I know you did six in a decade, but did it ever occur to you when you got there that it was like, yeah, for the next 10 years I'll do this, or was it like for a year?
I think when I took the position in California to go do officially, you know, I'm going to go be on a BSU staff in California. First of all, they asked me for a commitment. They said, we want you to commit to 5 years. We feel like that's what it will take, you know, for you to really invest well in this place. We don't want someone to come who's just going to be here a little bit. And at that point, I was committed. I was sold out to working with students. And I felt, at that point, lots of factors, I felt very strongly that that was where I needed to be. The Lord had really put that together. So I had no doubt that Chico, California was where I was going to be for at least the next 5 years. And I was fully committed to that. I ended up staying six. And somewhere in the midst of that, I think, you know, it was probably an increasingly clear thing to me that this is God's call on my life. And I'm going to do this long term. It ceased to be a, okay, well, you know, next year, maybe I'll do it again. And I know a lot of you guys are in your 20s, you're younger, and I didn't go to campus officially on staff until I was 27 years old. So some of you have started younger than that, and so you're not as sure. Maybe it's like, well, you know, I can do this one more year, and then I'll evaluate, and maybe I'll do it one more year. So does that answer your question? I was invited to do that. There were two things that sort of happened. I was on in California. I was by myself on a campus. I was not a part of a staff team. I was the BSU director. And initially, that was fine, and I was happy with that. I was glad to do it. It's going to be a too long of a story, which I'll be happy to tell you details on, but very briefly, the Lord was just doing some things in my heart about, he was helping me to know that I needed to learn to work with a team. I had a pretty independent spirit at that time. Kind of, you know, I can do anything. I can take on the world, you know. And there's part of that that's good, you know, but there was a part of it that was sinful. And the Lord began to work on that to say, you need to learn to work and co-labor with other people. You know, where they know your life intimately and where they could see you fail, where you can't hide your failures and your weaknesses. And side by side with that was, I knew that God was calling me to, I needed to learn to work alongside men. That was something that was fearful to me. Like, I think I didn't want men to see me fail. And so I knew I was praying about some opportunities to work alongside a team that had men on it. Both for the male factor and also just for learning to work with the team. And so I met Brett Yon somewhere, and through some mutual friends, he began to talk to me about coming on staff, and I knew that that was what I needed to do, where I needed to be. So there's a lot more to that story, which I'd be happy to explain personally if you want to know. Take too much time right now. So let me say a couple of things about staff ministry, student ministry. It is extremely hard work. It's extremely hard work. And I think, you know, there have been times early on in my life where I thought, this is a really grandiose, you know, kind of glamorous, kind of important thing to do, you know. And what I figured out fairly quickly, you know, I think at some point I kind of put it in the category of, like, you know, you get to go to conferences, you know, and do things like that. It's great fun all the time, you know. But that kind of stuff happens like every couple of years. And most of your life consists of just plain hard work. And I have stapled more posters on kiosks all over California and Nebraska. I have hauled coolers of pop in and out of, you know, dorm rooms and church basements and BSU buildings. I've made dinner hundreds and hundreds of times for as few as 10 and as many as 150 people, you know, and then I've cleaned up after it and, you know, cleaned the kitchen and cleaned the bathrooms. And I've done late nights, and you guys know there are early mornings. And I have walked a million miles from one end of campus to next, you know, visiting, being in the dorms, making phone calls. I was thinking today about Galatians 4. If you have a Bible, I'm just give you, if you want to turn right quick, Galatians chapter 4, 19 and 20. This is Paul talking to the Galatians, chapter 4, 19 and 20. And he says to them, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you." My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. You know, when a woman is in labor and has a baby, you know, sometimes she's, you know, it's as short as 3 hours, and sometimes, worst case scenario, maybe 48 hours. It's a long time, and it's painful, you know, and of course the reward is wonderful, but it's a long, painful deal. And I thought, you know, when you think about this, Paul says, I am in labor with you, how long? Until Christ is formed in you. Now, how long of a labor is that? Years. You know, I mean, there are still people who I am in labor over and for that I've known since they were students, and I've continued to have a relationship with them, and there are still things in their lives that I'm praying for and in conversation with them about, trying to see Christ formed in them. It is hard work, and it's never over. You know, those relationships that you form with students, they don't come to an end when they graduate. They continue lifelong. So it's very hard work. And, you know, the meeting with women who, you know, you're like, okay, how many times do I have to say this? You know, she's not getting it. We've had this conversation. You know, we had it when she was a freshman, and now we're having it again when she's a sophomore. And we had it last week. We're having it again this week. And, you know, it's not sinking in. It's labor. It's hard work. It is, of course, extremely rewarding. Extremely rewarding. It's the joy of seeing young women put their hope in God. And I think for me, if I had to pick a theme for my own life personally as a woman, I would dare say it's the theme of your life as a woman, and it's the theme of every woman you will minister to, whether you're ever on campus staff or not, but as you're investing in women in your life, is that women have to come to the place where we will put our faith in Christ and surrender to Him, put our hope in Him. Not just that one-time first decision to follow Christ, but a lifelong putting my hope in God. That is really difficult for us as women to do. And that is the process that you are walking alongside college women to do, is to put their faith in God. That's where some of you are, even today. You are struggling and wrestling with putting my hope firmly in God. Am I going to hope in Him? Or am I going to hope in a man? Or am I going to hope in a career? Or am I going to hope in my appearance? Where is my hope? Am I going to put it firmly in God? I am currently leading a Bible study group at my church I'm the only single in the group. It consists of all married women. And one night, this one woman and I were having this discussion about the difference between leading a group of college women, single, and leading a group of adult married women. And she said, I think probably the main difference is that married women have someone to blame. And I was like, oh, that's good. Because, you know, we as single women, those of you who are single, I assume most of you in here are, we spend most of our time thinking, you know, oh, if I only had a man in my life, you know, everything would be so much better, you know, and my life would be so good. You know, but there's sort of this nameless, faceless, oh, if only, you know, this phantom thing out there. And it drives us to put our hope in God, or it should. It should drive us to put our hope in God. And what I've discovered with my married women friends is they now are trying to get their needs met from their husband. It's like, I have a husband. He should be meeting my needs, right? No, he doesn't. These women are married to some wonderful men, but it's not enough. Did you know that we women have a infinite need for relationships? Have you guys figured that out yet? We have a bottomless pit of need for relational interaction. And I'm sorry, there is no man alive who can meet that need for us. And you will drive your husband to his grave trying to get him to meet that for you. We have got to learn to put our hope in God. And I think, you know, I look at the women that I work with who are married, these adult women. Most of them were not in campus ministries. Most of them have not had women invest in their lives. And they are dealing with issues in their 40s and 50s that I see college women dealing with in their 20s. And those women in their 20s, these college girls who have women investing in them, are going to be so far ahead when they're in their 40s and their 50s in trusting God, because they learned to do it earlier in life. And some of these women in their 40s are way behind some of the 25-year-olds I know in really trusting God with their life. They're still trying to get their needs met from their husbands. And it's tough. It's really tough. So the chance to work with college students and get those issues ironed out early in life is significant. I'll just say one word. I've done whole workshops on this, but I'll say one word to you about singleness, if I can, because that always comes up as an issue for those of us who are going to be on staff, single staff women. My word to you is settle it. Settle it in your heart that you will trust God with this area of your life. And when I say settle it, I want to also say I don't think that means once for all. It kind of tends to have a cyclical effect in my life. But I settle it. And I know it's going to come up again. And my commitment is when it comes up again, I'm going to settle it again. I try not to live in the throes of that turmoil of, oh, Lord, I would long to be married. And I do. And I know most of you do. Psalm 16:5 has been a helpful verse to me, a significant verse. And it says, "You, Lord, are all I have. You give me everything I need. My future is in your hands." I review that verse, and I review it often. I go back to it. It comes up frequently. It's written in my journal many, many times where I go back to that to say, okay, Lord, do I believe that? Is that true? Oh, yeah, it is true. It's hard right now, but it's true.
So are you saying we can't
marry as a... No, no. I'm just saying that most of you who are launching into this right after you graduate, one of the barriers that I think girls struggle with in doing it is, ooh, I don't know if I want to do that because I'm single and I'd rather be married. It's like, well, you're going to be a school teacher and be single, or you're going to be an engineer and be single. But I think there's this fear that if I kind of take a few steps on the ministry path as a single, that God is going to, like, you know, I am now, my fate is sealed, I'm doomed, I'm going to be single forever. You know? So,
just because you're in ministry doesn't mean you have to don a habit.
Exactly. So I'm not saying you can't be, it's like out of bounds. You know, you cannot be married. It's not allowed. I'm just saying that most of you who are considering that after you graduate, you probably will be single or you won't do it. You're most likely, if you're married, your husband will, you know, have a job and you guys will go somewhere where you may not even be near a campus. You'll be co-laboring with him. And it might be in a campus ministry, but it might not. So, just that's my little 2 cents on singleness, which I'd be happy to talk more about that later with anybody who would like. 3 quick things I've learned, and then we'll ask questions. Just 3 kind of random things I think I've learned through the years doing student ministry. Is first one is, I can trust the Lord to meet my daily needs. Not all ministries are like this, but I would say the majority of ministries represented here this week are ministries where you have to raise your financial support in order to be on staff. Rachel, you raise yours, don't you? Catherine, do you raise yours? Working on it. Dana? Oh, you're not on staff. I forget. Sorry. Anybody who else is already? Do you have to raise yours? Okay. All right. Somebody else? Yeah, Sarah, you have to raise? So if you don't have to do it, boy, praise God. What a blessing. But a lot of folks do. And I've done it for almost 10 years. And I want to say to you, I can trust God to meet my daily needs, and you can too. One of the verses early on, when I went to Nebraska, it meant raising my support for the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. And I remember moving to Nebraska and sitting on the front porch of my new duplex that I was going to live in, my first night in the duplex. I mean, I had been in Lincoln about 3 days staying with the Yawns, and then it was time to move in my apartment. And I remember moving in. I was the only person there yet. I didn't have roommates yet. And my stuff was in boxes in the house. And I went to bed, and I was laying in bed, and I could not go to sleep. I was just, like, churning. My stomach was churning. And I thought I was going to be sick. You know, it was like, okay, I can't sleep. I better get up and just, I got to go pray, you know. So I went outside. It was a July summer night. I went out, sat on the front step. I'm just like bawling, you know, sitting on the step. It's like midnight in my new, you know, apartment in Lincoln, Nebraska. I was like, where in the world am I? Where have I landed? And I just was like bawling, crying out to God. And I just remember the Lord just gave peace to me. Melody, trust me. And I went back to one of the verses he had given me when I said, yes, I will go on staff, which means raising my support, was Exodus 16:12, which sort of became a mantra for me in launching into support raising. And it's God talking to the Israelites when they're like wandering through Egypt in the desert. And he said, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God. And I came across that verse one morning in my quiet time while I was making the decision, yes or no, Nebraska. And when I read that verse, because the big hang up for me was, I don't know if I can do this support raising thing. I don't know if I can trust the Lord with that. And when I read Exodus 16:12, I closed my Bible, I called Brett and said, I'm coming. So, God will meet your needs. If He's calling you to do it, He will meet your needs. Second thing, I don't have to have it all together to help and disciple somebody else. I don't have to have it all together. Thank you. And I think when I first started out in campus ministry, I thought I have to have it all together. And if I don't have it all together, I certainly need to pretend that I have it all together as I'm hanging out with students. And I'm so sorry. I've repented of that, and I've had to even ask a few old students forgiveness for how I related to them when they were students. Because I kind of early on had this front that I felt like I had to keep up. And so 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, you know, Jesus says, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Don't be afraid to be weak. Don't be afraid to not have it all together. The key is you point people to Jesus. I mean, I have spent many an hour sitting with a student, weeping together over issues, not in her life, but in my own life, where students have been praying with me. And what I have, you know, sometimes you look at that and you think, well, gosh, that was a waste today. You know, all we did, I talked about myself today instead of them, and, you know, I was a mess, and I just felt like I needed to be honest with them today about where I was at and what I was dealing with. But I looked back on it and said, you know, what I did today was I said to them, I'm a mess and I just need to pray. I need to talk to Jesus. Will you pray with me? Will you listen to me for a minute? And I think, you know, there was great value in that because I didn't impart any great wisdom to their life today. But what I did was I showed them, I modeled for them, what do I do when I'm desperate? I go to Jesus. That's what I do. And I hope that they will learn to do that as well. They may not always have all the answers. They may not know what to do. But I hope I've taught some students to run to Jesus. Because that's where they run. Okay, I'm going to quit there. If you want my last few notes, you can get them later. So, questions. I want to take your questions. You may have questions about support raising or about seminary. Or we can talk about singleness. We can talk about whatever you guys want. So, let me think a minute. It's broad. I'm trying to think. Okay. Like, can you be more a little?
Yes. When I first started, my first year as an intern, I was given kind of a task, you know, as my ministry, but it was very broad, and I had no clue how to accomplish it, and I was very insecure, and I knew that God had put me there, and I had faith in that, but I still, every day I would go home from BCM and I'd be like, God, I don't think I did anything today. And so I was really insecure, especially my first year, but still I fight that a lot. So I was just wondering if you would be willing to.
Well, I'll say this. I think what you've just said is another issue that is probably extremely common to us as women. We deal a lot with insecurity. I think we do a lot of second-guessing ourselves. We do a lot of asking ourselves, do I really have anything to offer? And so I guess one answer to that question would be, again, like I said a while ago, in my early years in ministry, I did a lot of trying to mask the fact that I felt insecure. I tried to pretend that I did not feel insecure, and yes, I am, I know exactly what I'm doing. And then I would go home and be like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I think, you know, there was a process for me of learning humility to be willing to say, if this is genuinely something that I don't feel like I'm doing very well and I don't really know how to do it, I need to ask for help. I need to find someone and say, would you help me? You know, and it might mean asking the person you're working with on staff, like whoever's the head director. I'm just thinking a lot these days of just how we relate and operate as women. I'm doing a lot of thinking and study on this, and I'm just seeing in my own life how I'm often really hesitant to ask questions of people in authority over me because I don't want to look stupid, you know. And, you know, I spend a lot of time thinking, I should know this. I should know this already, you know. And I just think, why should I know this? I mean, I don't know it, so why do I think I should know it, you know? It's not... That's right. Exactly. It's not a bad thing to not know. And so I think I'm learning more and more. And working with Brett, working with a very strong man, I think really helped me in this area to learn. I need to ask, okay, Brett, can we talk about what do you really expect? You know, what does success look like to you in this area? And I can remember, okay, here's a specific working with him. He is a, if you don't know him well or haven't figured this out, he is a very high-powered, high-energy individual, just a tremendous person. And he is happier the busier he is. Like, the fuller his plate is, the more the engines run and his lights come on and it's like, whoa, here we go, you know. And so when I first went to work with him, I mean, he goes nonstop, 90 miles an hour all the time. He's got projects and ideas and he's just go, 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 up early, up late. And, you know, so I'm watching him and thinking, I need to be like that. You know, he is my boss. He is my model. You know, so I was up early, up late, trying to stay as busy as possible and keep up with him and keep the pace. And I was like, after, I don't know, probably after a year, year and a half, I'm like, you know, I can't breathe. I think I'm going to die. And I was feeling like a failure. I was just feeling like, I can't do this. I can't keep this pace. I can't do it. And therefore, I was feeling really bad about myself. And finally, I just started thinking, you know, I don't really know that Brett expects me to keep this pace. So finally, I just thought, I need to talk to him. So I said, can we talk? We sat down and I said, Brett, this is how I feel. I feel like you are a speedboat, like out on this huge lake, you know, and the gas is floored, you know, and you are just going 100 miles an hour across the lake and you are like loving it. You're having a great time. The problem is, like, I am, like, hanging onto a rope behind the boat, and I'm about to drown. Like, I feel the need to hang on and keep up with you, but I'm just drowning. And that was my word picture for him. And it was so good for me to hear him say, oh, my gosh, you know, I do not expect you to keep the pace that I keep. Don't feel like you have to do that. You know, I don't expect that of you. Well, you know, and he felt terrible that, you know, I felt that way. He had never communicated that to me. He had never said that to me, that he expected that of me. But I was making a lot of assumptions. So I think one thing that has helped me is to learn to ask questions and learn to ask for clarification, especially with the men that I work with. Learn to ask. It's okay to ask. It's good to ask. And so that's helped me on a lot of places where I felt insecure. And part of it is, you know, you just feel insecure sometimes, and you got to go to God and trust Him. If you can reevaluate, if there's things that need to change, change. But sometimes you just kind of have to keep plugging along and saying, I don't know if I'm doing this well or right, but I'm going to keep offering, and I'm going to keep trusting the Lord and trying to learn. Okay, go ahead. Just ask the one you want to ask most, because I'm going to just let you ask one. Probably the best process is to talk to the campus ministry leaders that you're currently a part of and just ask them, you know, this is something that's in my heart, it's growing, it's an interest I have. Ask them to give you some direction and make some suggestions. They'll be able to point you. Because they know you, they know your strengths, they know your weaknesses, and they would be able to help you find where would be a good fit. Because not every ministry is identical. I'm sure you figured that out. Every ministry has a different personality, different flavor. So involving people who know you well in that decision will help you have a good fit. Don't just kind of, you know, read about it in the paper. Oh, you know, they're advertising for a campus minister in, like, you know, Florida. That sounds like fun. I would encourage you to talk to people who know you and who know the staff that's already there. Somebody over here had a question.
You said that you didn't really feel like a call to the ministry or whatever. And we're all on kind of different playing levels here, I think, like just all different levels and stuff. So you didn't really feel like a distinct like moment, like, oh, that was when God called me to the ministry.
No, it was, for me, it was a growing, emerging call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think through being in the Word, as I was around people who affirmed the gifts that they saw in my life, as I did ministry and I found fulfillment in that, I felt really alive doing it. I felt like I was doing something that I felt like this is coming really out of my heart. I love it, and I feel like I have something to give that is worthwhile giving. It kind of slowly... It's like kind of one day, I literally kind of just one day woke up and looked behind me and saw my experiences and said, I think God has been calling me to do this, and I've already been doing it, you know, but I just sort of, like I said, fell into it. So, yeah, it wasn't like I had an experience in college where I felt, you know, at some conference called to ministry. Some people do. You know, everybody's experience with the Lord is very unique and individual. Sarah. Mm-hmm. Assurance and confirmation that's what you want to do, but in the waiting process and where you see it kind of opening up, like, do you just continue? Yeah, I think you have to, as with all things, you have to pray and trust God to lead. And a lot of you, or some of you, have been through Focus, not all of you, but you know, I think some of you have heard Dudley do the story of the link. And for those who haven't, in a nutshell, you know, remember the story in Acts where, help me here, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And God says to Philip, I want you to go down to the road to Gaza. And so Philip does that, and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot. He comes to Christ, he baptizes him. And then supernaturally, God's Spirit picks Philip up. And where does he take him? Does anybody remember? I forget where he ends up, but he ends up in some city. I don't know. He goes to some city where he continues ministry. And, you know, when you read that story, you think Philip must have thought in his mind, God told him to go down to the road that goes to Gaza. So in Philip's mind, he probably thought he was going to Gaza. Like, okay, Lord, I'm going to Gaza. So here I am on the road. And God intersected his life. He met the Ethiopian eunuch, led him to Christ, and then God took him somewhere else. As far as we know, Philip never went to Gaza. And that story has helped me so much, and I think it's sort of like this. You know, you can't predict long-term. No, none of us can predict long-term where God is leading our lives. We do not know. My life has been a great adventure, let me tell you, up to this point. I have had no clue. It's just been a great ride. You know, but we often have some idea of our destination. Oh, okay, Lord, this is what I'm doing. And so we start that direction. And he often intersects us on the way, and we end up doing something completely different. And I think a lot of folks, there's a lot of you who might end up being on a college campus, plugging into a campus ministry for a year or two or three, and then God may direct your life in some completely different direction. He may bring marriage, and you may go overseas with your husband, or you may get involved in ministry to women in a church where you're, you know, in a town where your husband is like whatever he's doing. And, you know, there's just no way to know. Some of you, God may actually have in mind that you give your life long-term as a career on the college campus. So you just kind of have to take it a day at a time, Sarah, and pray and ask the Lord.
Well, as you're transitioning from full-time campus to focus, like obviously you're still a college student, obviously
right.
You're sort of being mobilized students to go internationally, but it's looking different.
Sure.
Have you struggled with that?
No. It seems, it's just been the most natural thing. And I think you'll feel that too. It'll feel natural to you. The next step. Like, this is a fit. Okay, anybody? Okay, right here, Mallory.
All right, for the ones who had to raise support or doing that, talk to me about that, because that's just a concept I'd never even heard of as far as campus ministry until I got out here to seminary and realizing that, okay, depending on what part of the country you go, that is a reality. So I guess just talk about ideas. Is it kind of like when you're going on a mission trip and you're just writing a letter to a church and praying, saying, just please write me a check, or what are we doing?
Mallory, so, like, what is your question? Like, what do you want to know?
If that is a reality, how have y'all gone about raising support? Like, what are some ideas you would throw out to somebody who's just getting out there and who may not have a clue of how to do that?
Okay. Sure. You want to ask your question on top of that, or?
How that works, because seriously, asking for money is, oh my gosh, I would hate to do that. But I know it's a reality.
I might be doing one that goes along with that kind of stuff. Like, I know, like, our main director does it, but our woman one is just, like, an associate director for the stuff. And I know she has a job, and that's her main form of support. And so do some campuses have you go and get another job and then somehow do campuses?
Sometimes you have a part-time job. Some places you'll do a part-time job and work on campus.
Because I know her just like full-time and stuff, and then she's doing that.
Yeah.
She's trying to figure all that out too.
There's a support raising workshop on Thursday also.
Yeah, there's a support raising workshop right now during this time. It's led by Bethany's father, Bobby Pruitt. And is it going to meet again?
On Thursday,
I would. If some of you are seriously thinking about campus ministry in a region where you have to raise support, I would highly recommend you go to Bobby's workshop. I have been to Bobby's workshop before. I've talked with him to get some help, and you won't find any better help on raising support than Bobby Pruitt. The man is like crazy in love with raising his support. And
have you gotten to that level yet, Melody?
What's that? No. I would like Rachel. Can I pick on you? Would you say something as somebody a little closer to their stage of life about raising your support?
It hasn't gotten any easier. But don't let that disturb you. I think some of the best advice I ever got was people support what they believe and relate to. And your job is not to convince them that maybe they need to give money. It is simply to inform them of what God is doing and that He is living and active in your ministry. And God will move their hearts. Never, ever, it's the same thing with raising stuff for missions. Never be the one to decide who gets the letter and who doesn't.
ever. I have been shocked speechless by people who have given to my ministry out of the blue. Hmm. People I've never even met in my life, and they heard my name through a girl who knew a girl who knew a girl and sent me a check. So he works in mysterious ways, and he shocks you every time.
I'd like to add on that I think for me, when I first started doing this...
This is Jenny Stage, who is on staff in Colorado. With the crazy insane guy, whom I love dearly.
When I first started raising support, I think that I thought about it the way Tim Peterson was describing evangelism, like you have a hit list. You know, you're a salesperson that you have to talk people into giving you money every month or something like that. And really, for one thing, there are so many people who want to have a part in ministry, but it's that, you know, everybody gets paid somehow. God provides for everybody somehow. Sometimes it's through a job, and like a pastor is getting supported through tithing. And it's the same thing with you. It just comes in a different form. And I think that was a big help for me. And it's still kind of hard. Sometimes I feel pressure when I, you know, have talked to some supporters for a while or something like that. And I think, oh, I better talk to them or else they're not going to. And it's good to keep them informed. But I think just keeping that mindset that this is God's miracle. Just kind of what Rachel was saying, like, you can't really believe you can be blown away by people who will just want to come support the ministry.
That's probably one of the most humbling things I've ever had to do.
And such an opportunity to see God provide. He will pull money out of place. I mean, I had this woman that I'd never heard of her, and she sent me a check for $500 right when I needed it. And I don't know of any other thing where
Catherine, you want to put 2 cents in or not? You don't have to. But
I'm just on the front end. Asking, you know, hearing there's an empty yes to all those things. I mean, it's encouraging to me to hear what they're saying because I'm really struggling.
And it is, you know, if there's a hurdle you have to get over of feeling like this is about me, you know, you have to get over that hurdle and realize this is about something that God is doing, and, you know, call it crazy, but this is the way He's choosing to fund this ministry. And I wish there was a salary coming from somewhere where somebody would just write the checks every month. You know, I wish that would, but in lots of places, that's not the reality. And so this is the way God is choosing to fund this ministry. And, you know, if He's calling you to be a part of it, then He will help you to get over some of those hurdles and be able to do it, and He will provide.
And you want to talk insane. I've been raising support for staff and then had to pull double duty for missions trips, and I've gone 4 times in a row. So He provides.
I want to tell you guys something really weird. I'm calling Bobby crazy and insane, but I was on staff in Nebraska for 9 years, raised my financial support. I just hooked my... I don't know why I have this, but anyway. I raised for 9 years, and then I went off staff 3 years ago. I've actually been off staff. I've been working in a little medical company in Wichita, Kansas for 3 years. And now I'm making the transition to work on staff with Focus. So I've been out of full-time campus ministry for 3 years. I've not been raising my support. I've been drawing a normal paycheck. You know, every month I get the paycheck. And I want to tell you guys something that I never thought I would say or believe. I missed raising my support. I missed raising my support. And I saw my attitude change toward my money. When I was raising support, I never felt like it was my money. You know, I always had the perspective that this is God's money and it comes to me as a, and I never viewed it, I never felt guilty about how I spent it. I mean, I really felt like people gave to my salary, and they don't care how I spend it. It's my salary. You know, they trust me to be a good steward of my money, and I never felt like I had to, you know, do my money a certain way. But I just always was very keenly aware that this money came to me from the hand of God, from 40 random people and churches, you know. And I was very generous with it. I felt, you know, I was committed to give to other ministries, and I just saw it as this is God's provision to meet my needs, and I can give, and I was always aware that it's God's provision. And then I got this job at this medical company where for the first time in a decade I'm, you know, making a check the way most people make a paycheck. And I found myself getting like, it's mine. It's my money. You know, I worked hard for this money, and you know, I don't like my job that much, and so, you know, I deserve every penny of it. And I think I really honestly, looking back on it, I think I gave less when I had a paycheck that was more normal and I made more money than I had made in campus ministry. I don't know that I gave as much in the last 3 years as I gave prior. And I just, you know, I realized that about a year and a half, 2 years in, how my attitude had changed. And I began to pray. I was like, okay, Lord, this is not good. You know, I don't want to feel this way. So I tried to deliberately do some things to up my giving and to kind of loosen my hold on that paycheck. And so when it came back around for me now to go back into ministry where I'm going to raise my support again, I'm in the middle of doing that right now. You know, it's been hard work. It's hard. There's no way around it. It's hard work to do. But I have found some great joy in it as well. And I'm really excited to do it again. So Bobby rubbed off on me. I never thought I would say that. I mean, I never really hated doing it, but I it wasn't my favorite thing in the world either. And now I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm excited to do this again. So.
I'll say as an encouragement to all of you that raising support is one thing that I like about campus ministry. After you get it, maintaining it is such a joy. I know, 90 people don't give to me every month, but I give out 45, and I'm still not at this point. But knowing that I send 90 people every month the names of my girls, that they are praying for them, that they are joining with me, and that God has said, I am calling out my saints because I want her. And I will have them pray for you. And when they write that check, they are praying for you. And I know. And so for me, it's such a joy to know that I'm not alone. Even though I feel like I'm the only person in my heart, but that I want her to wait for me, and I will do what it takes to get it. And I've chosen to be raised for work because I want all these other people involved, and I want them to see me. And that's a joy. So I say that as an encouragement to you all, that it is.
And it is a really great, it is a great opportunity for a lot of people to be involved in the ministry at New Mexico State or whatever campus you're on. There's a lot of people who know what's going on there and are praying for it and they're interested in it because they give financially to it. And so it really is an interesting way and a unique way for I think like Sarah's saying, to kind of raise up a network of people who really care deeply about what's going on your campus because they're giving money to it every month. What time is it? Okay, we're over time. Need to quit. So I'm going to call it right there and I'm going to pray for us. And I'm happy to hang around and talk. I'm here the rest of the week. If anybody wants to, you know, ask a question, feel free. And I would commend to you some of these gals that are on staff that have shared some, Jenny, Sarah, Catherine, Rachel, Holly, pick their brains. So thank you guys for your questions and your participation. Let me pray. Father, I do thank you for each woman in this room tonight and the fact that they love you and are wanting to walk with you. And we really do have a room full of people who are at very different places in life, some just starting out in college and others already doing campus ministry. And Lord, we just say to you tonight, each one of us, that our lives are yours and we really trust you to direct us step by step. Lord, would you help us to know what it looks like to live full out for you in obedience to you? And Lord, that is going to look really different for each one of us. For some, it's going to mean the next 20, 30 years in campus ministry, just plugging away on a campus, investing in the lives of women. Or for some of us in this room, it's going to mean moving overseas and giving our lives there. And for others, it's going to look like getting married to a guy who's like an engineer or something and figuring out how to co-labor alongside him in a church ministry. And Lord, for some, it's going to mean becoming teachers or doctors or nurses or scientists or pianists or whatever, and trying to have a ministry in the lives of people that we work alongside. And so, God, I just really pray for your touch on each of these women's lives, that they would know clearly your direction, that you would give them the blessing of your peace, that you would help each of them to put their hope firmly in you, and or that they would be women and that I would be a woman who would reflect your glory. That is our heart, God, to reflect your glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.